Done.
Merrily.
There we are.
Here we are.
We are connected.
We are connected.
My
Ta-da.
goodness. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm yeah. Let's see. How many, let's see. Let's see. I feel like a quark or a quantum or a pulsar or something. How are you?
I'm good.
You hopping? Where are you going?
Yeah. I am busy making decisions. It seems like, this whole eclipse thing has really brought in like a new phase. I don't know if other people are feeling it or not. They say that we would, but I'm definitely there.
You want to talk about that? I'll talk about.
Just clearing off my desk. And basically, starting over. It's like, okay. Oh, let's just do that.
Does it take 94 billion years of energy to turn off your desk? Probably
Well,
not.
just sometimes it's kind of like everything else. Your desk gets cluttered and your closet gets cluttered and your refrigerator gets cluttered. And it's after a while, it's just like, okay, this has to go. All this stuff. We have
How often do you do that? How often do you look at your refrigerator and say, this has got to go?
I don't know how often I have to really do that because a lot of stuff is just we eat pretty clean, So I definitely do not stuff my refrigerator or my cabinets or anything with a bunch of junk.
Like leftover, you mean? Or,
Well, leftovers and
yeah.
prepackaged foods and
Yeah, well, so when you say eat clean, you're eating raw food or real food and you eat it. That's it, huh?
Right, and that's it.
Right. I'm
And
looking at a bottle of a canning jar of sauerkraut right now in my window. I'm trying to decide how this conversation is going to go with that sauerkraut. Not
Yeah.
clean. It's full of bugs.
Ew.
It's good though.
Yeah.
I'll get the bugs off of there later.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Okay, well, all that, I mean, you're making that, so that's different, but it used to be where, you'd have all these different sauces and jars of things, pre-made things and salad dressings and this and that. It's like that whole part of the refrigerator, I mean, it could literally be empty. I don't need anything pre-made jars.
you fit beer in there?
Oh no. On a very rare occasion.
Not you. Not you. Right. I'm just testing. Just testing.
Yeah, and you know what? And Peter, he doesn't drink beer really at all at home.
Well,
But he does.
he's smart. Hope he continues to be smart like that.
He does like to have whiskey, I think it is. Is it whiskey when he cooks a steak? It's
Oh,
like a whole
he drinks whiskey. It's
event.
like, oh, it's like a, it's like a, yeah, it's a tradition. Drink
It's like a
whiskey.
manly event.
Yeah, right. Yes, right. In the man cave,
Okay.
we drink whiskey when we make steak, right?
Making our meat. God.
Yeah, I know.
But
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff is goes out in the field too. When you're hunting, there's things you do. But
And
anyway.
haven't had lunch yet. I made meatballs yesterday. I guess I'm gonna have a meatball sandwich.
I had peanut butter as well.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
What
Raw,
kind of peanut butter, John?
peanut butter. Raw.
Okay.
Raw. No stuff. I
Yeah.
hate it. You can't mix it or nothing. It's hard. It's all right.
Why are you eating that?
Because it was easy and handy. And I was out of time. And, it's like I feel like every time I do that, I'm kind of walking into some kind of absorption spectra, where the gases are going to vary and so the power will be sucked into these cold areas of bad gas, and I'll have black streaks going down my back, and God,
Oh.
bad. Must eat good food.
Oh.
Rusty is good
yeah
fruit, I think.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm just curious. I mean, I'm dancing around the whole idea of your changes. I mean you're serious. You're changing, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're moving on up. Like the clampets.
Yeah, like the clampets. Wow. That brings back memories. I think yeah, you are moving up, all right. It's really pretty interesting. I've done a couple of days of study on you, just on you specifically. And
on me specifically.
Oh yeah, just on your magnitude, who you are, yeah.
What did you find out?
Well, you're kind of, I don't know if you're a binary system or, a black hole or what. Your power is, you have a lot of power. Let's just say, you have a lot of power. And you have a lot of power that's almost a corona of power, speaking of eclipses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of an energy thing,
Of course.
So, but you're, unlike a lot of very powerful things, you're also adaptive, as I'm doing this research.
Mm-hmm.
So with your adaptiveness and your power, you become a very desirable sort of almost commodity in the universe. Like you would be, if there was the seraphim and you need to get your chip on the table to get in the higher order, you'd be up there with Michael the Archangel. I got the chops to be here. It's like sliding your quarter under the cushion. Mm-hmm. If you they can tell it, they can, when the angels see you, they can see you screwing your stick together, like she didn't just pick a stick off the wall, did she? No, she's screwing it together.
Oh gosh, that's funny. I did have a really good conversation today with Jack Zufeld. Jack Zufeld. Jack is, he's like an kind of an old timer, I'm going to say. He's been in the business of personal development for decades. And he's got a book that has sold millions and big speaker, things like that. And so Jack and I just kind of had a heart to heart today. And, there's something to be said about people who are just polished. They just know their thing. It's almost like it's, I mean, I hate to say that. I'm going to say it though. It's almost like the race of humanity as a unit becomes a thing and you know how to operate the thing.
Okay. All right.
And, and appeal to it and say things in a certain way that is received, right? So there's different ways to say the same thing, but you have to know the way so that people receive it, they understand. And he's quite polished at it. And, I enjoy conversations like that with people who just know their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When we think about people who just know their stuff, it didn't just happen. It was a focus. They got that way because they were focused. And
did you call applied practice? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I would say applied practice. Sure. Right.
For 50 years or something,
Yeah.
Getting it right. Probably got it wrong at first. Now he gets it right.
Right. Well, I guess it's because, when you focus on something, it's like, how do I do that? Let's say, if there's a hole in the wall and you have no idea how to fix the hole in the wall. And so you just, throw some stuff, some spackle on it, and it comes out really bumpy and ugly and it cracks and it just doesn't work. And you're like, well, why didn't it work? I got to take all that out now. So you have to keep doing it until all of a sudden it's like, wow, look at that. I did a really good job. You can't even tell there's a hole there. People would never know.
Yeah.
You're that good. Right, because you focused on that one thing and you kept doing it wrong enough times to get it right. And then once you got it right, other people are just like, what did you do? I don't understand. Where was the hole? What was wrong with it? You see what I'm saying? And it's the same for personal development, when or you're trying to accomplish that one thing. How do I do that? How do I get, let's say, my audience to hear me? How do I do that one thing? And there's a lot of people who do that thing, but they're not good at that thing. They're still trying to figure it out. And so, of course, you go to people who know what they're doing or tell you what to do. It's just that. And if we as an individual don't have a one thing that we want to be good at, well, then, it's like, all right, we're good at a lot of things. We're a jack of all trades. That's cool. I'm a jack of all trades. But still, even that, being a jack of all trades, it had to be the one thing. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, the jack of all trades, they're not the beachhead specialist. And they certainly have a value. I mean, they have a, a chattel value, but I think, I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm trying to come up with metaphors. I don't need to do that, but yeah.
Do you think the jack of all trades is an expert of many trades or just somebody who's handy?
Well, I think he's somebody who is he or she would be some would be driven by would be driven by curiosity, lack of fear, maybe, and willing to try and do all kinds of things. I think a jack of all trades becomes dangerous when they believe that they're more than they are.
Right.
And
They believe they're qualified and they're
They're not
not.
qualified. I know
Right.
I think in the contracting business that's happened to me personally.
Yeah.
Where I actually went to Hawaii, I had a guy come in and he gave me this his elevator speech about how good he was. I believed him, and I was this was a second story or downstairs remodel. So I left for Hawaii. And when I came back, I hardly recognized the house, The guy was a complete nightmare.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was terrible. Cost me a lot of
What
money.
do you do?
He didn't know what he was doing. That was the problem. I was putting in a library. I had a big room downstairs with a fireplace and a bar and a library. I made the whole thing into a library because I was making this area for the kids to hang out in, and I wanted them to hang out in a bunch of books, and read them and whatever. And anyway, he didn't know how to build a library, for one thing, and he didn't know how to do a whole bunch of stuff, and it was all broken, and it was a mess, and he was, and to his credit, he stayed and apologized for being inept, but he'd made a big mess, and he couldn't solve it, and he couldn't pay his way out of it. I mean, he was just a mess. I had to send him home
Oh
with
no.
this, pick it all up, and do it again. So yes, a jack of all trades who decides he's a carpenter is a jack of all trades who decides he's a finished carpenter is not a good thing. Not a good thing. Right.
Right.
Like when I was a jack of all trades, sort of in a way. I had a Jaguar, XK120, a rare, wonderful car. And I needed to rebuild the engine. And I thought, how tough can this be? So I bought him a shop manual for a Jaguar engine. I took it apart and did it in my garage. But I was there I was. And then I put it back together again. And I couldn't get it to fit. I couldn't get the valve guides to fit in the block. And I figured, well, it must be the wrong bell guides or whatever. So I end up getting a drill press, and I get all this set up, and I press out, I drill out the valve guide holes, put the guides in. What I didn't realize was that when they do that, the guides, they press them by heating the block and freezing the guides. So when you drop them in, they expand and seize in position. So I drilled out the block and hammered in the goddamn guides. I get in the car, started up, and I drive it down the road. As the engine heated up and the guides didn't fit anymore because there was a disparity in temperature, the guides started dropping onto the valves. I blew up the whole engine, blew it up.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happens when an engine blows up? I
Makes a
mean,
hell of a lot of noise.
but you're
Well,
okay.
I'm okay. You know, throw those parts around, but I was all right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So
See?
what did you learn from that,
Learned about this conversation for one thing. Yeah. Learned about
John?
how not to. Yeah. I mean, you know, do what you know how to do, but don't wing it. Don't wing it. I mean, you can wing it in certain things, but there's, but the consequence is different.
Right, it's an opportunity cost,
Yes,
is what it
yes, exactly, precisely. Yeah.
my God. Well, you know what? I mean, I'm a jack of all trades, kind of.
Okay, good.
I don't try to fix my own car, but you know, on a different type of thing, I guess we all are to some degree. You know, you can dabble in things.
We kind of
And
have to be a little bit to get through, don't you? A little bit.
yeah.
Can't hire everything done. Go crazy.
But I mean, if let's say your hobbies, if your hobbies, you're into your hobby and you get into it and you're, let's say, adept. It's like, let's say you're knitting and now you know how to knit a blanket. You know, and you're like, okay, I've got all these blankets laying around. And then you kind of get tired of that, but you know how to knit.
Yeah.
But a blanket, nothing else, pretty much. And you know, so you move to the next hobby, and then you know, one after the next, you kind of become in that arena, a jack of all trades. I could do that. I could do a little bit of this. I could do that. Huh.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could knit potholders. I mean, that's what I learned to do. I knitted
Really?
potholders. Yeah. That's all I get. Because what I wanted to do is knit sweaters. But I didn't have the patience to get through that. I mean, I taught in the piece goods department at Penney's. I was the instructor for drapery and, you know, pattern stuff and women trying to make dresses and whatever. And I didn't know. I couldn't hit my ass with both hands. But I showed well that I could sort of convince them I knew what I was doing. I have no idea what their products turned out to be like, but you know, it's all right. Worked out. Patrick liked me and I got new suits all the time. So it's great. So you can sort of skate a little bit, but nobody came back and nobody complained. And so it was all right, you know. And I did a lot of fabrics, a lot of stuff.
Fabrics?
Well, I mean, we handled a lot of, we were major piece goods operation, big time. So we had bolts and bolts and bolts of fabric. My open to buy on denim would be like 50, 60 feet at a time. I would buy bolts of fabric that were 50 feet across. You know,
And you would do that for?
well, for the JCPenney company and the House of Fabrics, I did it for both companies.
Oh, okay. And the House of Fabrics.
Yeah,
Wow.
yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm buying fabric.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm buying that fabric so I can make the textiles, whatever it is, for the design in my previous life.
There you go. Well, did you ever
Interesting.
stop by my store? I was in Ogden, Utah. On
No. That's where Janelle is, as a matter of fact.
That's right,
That's
she is.
funny.
That's right. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She's in Ogden? No, she's not in Ogden.
Yeah.
Is she in Ogden?
Yes, she is.
Wow. Nice city.
Yeah.
They like golf there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Yeah.
I was thinking about the, you just said a minute ago, to adapt and adaptive. I think that's the secret word here is the adaptive personality, the adaptive psyche, the adaptive person. If you're adaptive, you are, because like, for example, an animal wouldn't be adaptive other than to figure out how to better catch the mouse, you know? So you adapt to your environment. But a human being is adaptive. You can take in all kinds of stuff as a human, and you adapt to get the job done, which makes us the higher order, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of like survival. I don't know if we're adapting. I mean, put any one of us in an environment we're not comfortable in, and it's like we're going to survive.
Yeah, but if I'm adaptive, I'll figure out that you're uncomfortable, and I'll figure out a way to build a better cage over here and then sell you a space.
Okay.
So I'd be adaptive to your problem.
A solutions provider?
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Sure.
That's my new title. I'm gonna put a solutions provider.
I mean, think about Peter in the golf course. I mean, he could, you know, he could be doing all kinds of stuff over there if he was,
yeah,
you know, just a little bit crooked and adaptive, but he's not. He's just a, you know, a very solid employee. So there's the big difference.
Crooked
there.
And adaptive, yeah. Like what?
Like me.
I know, but like what? It's funny because, you know, when you have not a crooked mind, a crook mind, you know, you can come up with all kinds of ways to take advantage of people and make money, and people buy into it.
Sure.
Right.
Well, because it depends on how much damage you're doing. If you're not doing any damage necessarily, you know, I mean, it's just you adapt. You adapt to the situation.
Not, wait a minute, but it's a crook. If you're a crook, if that's the label,
no, you're
damaging people.
You're not
people.
A crook, but you might be hedging. I mean, like Eric, my youngest son, Eric, I mean, he, you know, we lived on the golf course in Mill Creek, and there was range balls. I mean, the balls that were, you know, hit out of bounds and whatever it was. And he would cut up those balls, and then he would sell them back to the members, not in the club, but somewhere on the fairway, he'd sell them balls. Of course, that was a big no-no at the club.
Sure.
So that's adaptive, you see. He's adaptive.
Yeah. Well.
Being adaptive, for example, would be to, at 2 o'clock in the morning, your son calls and says, "Dad, I've had a wreck in the car, and I've been drinking. Can you come and get me before the cops get here?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be right there." That's being adaptive.
Right.
Or your other son calls and says, "Dad, I've took the Volkswagen up to the top of the ski run and it stalled and now I can't get it off."
Oh my gosh. No.
Oh yes. Or,
yeah.
John, did you know your kids are building a bonfire in the attic? No, I didn't know that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how do we get here? You're having a great week. What are we doing talking about this for? I mean, you're doing really well, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. I'm doing very well. Apparently the eclipse is my friend.
So your book is coming out soon. That is the book about you.
Yes.
I wrote a piece about that yesterday and I shipped it off to the publishers. I think it's being well received. And I feel good too. I think that you're going to become awful famous awful fast. We talk about this all the time, but I had to sit down. I had to sit down and actually face my, not face a demon so much, but face who I am about believing who you are, because I believe that you are. I've witnessed who you are, and I'm going to be challenged on that. By someone. Yeah. Someone will challenge me on that. And I had to write about it. And maybe that's just a method.
Yeah.
But I had to write about it. I mean, it's like, maybe it's just my academic background, you know? I don't know. But I wrote about it, about why you are as powerful and wonderful and as you are. And it worked. It worked. It was seamless. It worked very well.
That's what you sent off to the publisher?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, publishers got that. Well, it's been refined, but it's the same thing. I mean, you know, just for some stuff.
Sure.
But I'm telling the world that you're the real deal. And because I've witnessed that, and I think that's, and I believe that when your book comes out, it's going to be pretty matter of fact. It's going to be kind of fun. It's going to be who is Merrily of Solana anyway? Who is Princess Merrily of Solana? Who is this woman? And
Yes.
as you and I talk here, day after day after day, on Spotify, we're talking like we're normal, ordinary, across the backyard friends, people, you know?
Sure.
And yet neither one of us are actually normal
Right.
at
We're not
all,
normal.
not even close, you know?
Don't even, what is normal?
Well, and it's a problem, you see, we don't know. But I mean, I don't think we meet any sort of naming convention, which is why we buzz around each other all the time. Because I think we're like, you know, the lowest, we are a couple of quanta, you know, like we are light photons, a couple of quanta photons that were spinning through space and met each other and realize that we're not like the other things. And we keep buzzing around that thing.
Yeah, don't know. Don't know really what's to come, and I don't know.
Yeah, but you're being more successful than I am.
What do you mean?
Well, you're prettier for one thing, but that's not
Well.
success gauge of success. But I think that you have a certain talent. This is what it is. What it is that you are the aggressor in going forward, the adaptive one.
Yeah.
And I am the adapter. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. It's something. It's something. I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is that I am a decision maker, and I don't have a problem pivoting at all. Once I make a decision, I'll turn on a dime. You know, I don't sit there and hem and haw and hem and haw, unless of course it's, you know, I feel like I'm being premature in a decision. You know, I'll let it sit. You know, I'll just let that simmer for a while until I get an absolute push into, nope, that's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do.
So it sounds like your decisions are weighted.
Waited with what?
Well, weighted with anything like the scales of justice.
Yeah.
You stack them up on both sides till you figure out which way it's going, and then you go that way.
Yeah, I mean, if we were using that analogy and it was a scale, I definitely wait. I'm looking for that one coin or one drop that is going to tilt the scale. It's like, and I can anticipate when it's going to, like, not that it when, but that it is. It will come.
Is that all decisions that you make? Is that every decision? You weight them like that? I mean, of consequence?
But yeah, but I don't sit there and you know, overthink it, ponder it and all that stuff. It's either in alignment or it isn't. And when it is in alignment, I don't sit there and think about it again. It's the answer is yes, I'm doing that. You know, it's just being a decision maker.
So,
It's clear.
do you? Then what if you, is there such a thing as a bad decision in your case?
A bad decision.
Yeah, by you? Do you make bad decisions?
Know, of course, I have to say yes, but
Why?
I can't,
Why do you have to say yes?
because I've been around a while, you know, and
Oh.
you can't say, you know, every time you make a decision, you know, it's gonna be good. However, I would say that most of my poor decisions were made when prior to me making a commitment to love. Since making that commitment, my decisions have been accurate. My responses, not so much.
You make emotional
My res
decisions?
No, meaning I'll make a sound decision, and I don't have any decisions that I've regretted. But sometimes in the moment, when you make that move, I will act out of turn or will say something out of turn. And the person that I'm playing with, let's say, is, they don't know any better. They didn't catch it, but I know better. And I'm like, damn it. I just did that. I just did that again. And so I'm always striving to be better at what I do. I could have said that better. I could have held back a little longer. I could have, been more patient. Or, a lot of times when we know when pe where people are going, we'll jump ahead of them, right? And it's really important just to know that that's the direction we're going. Just sit back and enjoy the ride for a minute.
If I have a flaw, my fatal flaw there would be that I don't do that. I'm the to me, as soon as someone opens a conversation, if I'm out ahead of it far enough, in my head it becomes circular and I'm bored right away. I'm not interested, which is I think I should have more patience than that. Do you think all your decisions then become strategic?
All of my decisions.
Well, key ones. We can, get a
I
category
would
here.
say, right, but there's decisions and then there's discipline. It's different. So there's decisions based on choice. And then there's discipline, self-discipline.
So in
I'm not
a
going to do that.
right, so in a conversation, in the day-to-day, you're disciplined. And the
Right.
decisions are at a different plateau.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
Well, that's makes good sense. Yeah. How come you always make such good sense?
Well, it works, when you're navigating through your day. You have to be disciplined at all times. You have to understand what you're doing.
You ever
Because,
experiment in the kitchen?
yeah.
What's your version of experimenting in the kitchen?
my kitchen.
Oh,
My kid's like, I know, Mom. What did you do to it this time? I don't hesitate to, just substitute whatever it is.
okay.
Yeah, well, I don't have that, so I'm going to
Right,
throw this in there.
right. We'll just roll in a variable here and see what happens.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And
Yeah.
they're so used to it, but they're just like, "Mom, you don't need to tell us, okay? It's good. We're just going to eat it." And I'll be like, "Well, I didn't have any, so I used."
I think that's the mark of an excellent chef, really, because the adaptability to roll in a variable. That's really a big deal. I mean, that's the crux of all science, hard science. And science happens in the kitchen. Really, it does. It's biology.
Sure.
And sure. I mean, that's really a mark of somebody that knows their shit, I think.
Love in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I call it. It's just how we act and how we behave in the kitchen, and then project that onto our friends and family. How do you act with them? Is it the same way as the way you treat your kitchen? The way you cook?
That's a nice, that's interesting. Yeah. How long have you thought that way?
I don't know. I did that video a long time ago, years ago.
It was a
That's on
video. We
YouTube.
did a video
Oh
called Love in the
yeah. Oh
Kitchen.
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Part one and part two. Yeah. And that's another thing that, that's on my desk actually, to make a decision whether or not to take down my videos. I don't know.
Are
I
they
was
on?
ready to
They're on
this
you. They're
morning.
on YouTube.
They are on YouTube, and I've got a lot of different things on there. Like I've got testimonials on there, and then the show. I just have a variety of things, podcasts that would stream over there. It's kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. I haven't really given it too much love. And I'm thinking, and I'm not even streaming, our podcast over there or mine. Get that. Or mine. It's like Merrily. Yeah. Because it's called the Merrily Show on YouTube. But I have not done any videos or anything that I used to do at all.
But you
You know,
still have a YouTube channel.
I still have the channel, but because, you know, obviously my career and everything is just evolving so quickly that sometimes it's kind of like, yeah, well, I did that too, and I did that too, and you're just kind of leaving it out there. And it's like if I was in a boat, I passed that by, it's done. And it's kind of a important lesson. You know, people are always trying to push that boat and push that boat and stick with it and push that boat. And it's like, do you love it, or is it laborious? I don't want to do anything I don't love.
Well, I think this is a natural progression of who you are. If we go back to the first part of the conversation we were having today, when I was talking about who you are briefly and, being ambiguous about it, but it's very clear to me that you need to shed a whole bunch of stuff because it's like you're coming out of a chrysalis or you're a chrysalis coming out and you're not shedding the shell. And I think it may be human nature, I don't know, but I'm not saying you need to dump the whole thing, but I'd archive a bunch of stuff if I were you, because you're coming out clean, real clean here. And
Well, the reason why I'm hesitant about it is because, on the one hand, when people say, well, who's Mara Lee? You know, what has she done? And they start researching, and then all my videos come up. They're going to see that I've been talking about this stuff for a long time. So everything that is popular now, the memes that have come out, you know, it's like, to me, it's obviously reminiscent to what I've already done. And, you know, should I just leave it, or should I just take it down? I don't know.
well, I guess it depends on the pop, how you pop onto the new scene. It's like it's like really Charlie's promo on by the way, I'm going to be on a show on Tuesday, apparently, this coming Tuesday on the
Oh, good.
16th. But
Nice.
that was clever what he did. The promo on my being on his show, very clever, I thought. And it was spontaneous, dropped right out, just dropped right into us, I guess. And it's in its own sort of way, it sort of took me back a little bit. Like, when someone, like you were saying yesterday, were we talking about yesterday about how do people see me? Is that the question? You were saying, how do people see me? Well, that kind of ran by me a little bit today too, when I saw him do a promo on, after reading my book, How Do People See Me? And I thought about our conversation yesterday after he did that. And I thought, we tend to hide, I think, we tend to hide behind luggage, a lot of luggage sometimes. You probably, me maybe more than you, I don't know, but I'm a big fan of one sharp pencil and a fresh legal pad. I really am. I think that's the best way to get going, to get yourself going, is to start from scratch.
So that I'll archive everything and say that was before the eclipse. That was a life ago.
Oh, I think so. I mean, well, thing is that the book, you're the game. I'm in that pitch I did yesterday. I covered all three books, but I think that the books, the trilogy of books and the Trinity and all that kind of stuff, I think they're going to make you very busy. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that, as soon as they get to page 200 or 250, whatever it is, to 300, they're going to say, "Who the hell is Mira Lee?"
In which book?
Well, you're in the second book, and you're going to, in the third book is all about you. So I think
The
by
third
the,
book?
well, I'm talking about the, I meant second book. The third book is the game, which is your book. That's the capstone for the whole thing. So Deal, Danger, Destiny introduces you. Floppy Feathers talks about you and essentially identifies who you are. And then the game is the capstone for who you are. That's
Right.
like you put on your crown, all right?
Right.
Well, I think that what's going to happen is that if you've got a bunch of slag, luggage, and these books break, you're won't have time for any of that stuff. You're just not going to have time.
Yeah.
You're going to
I
be
know.
in the speaker's circuit. You're going to be, you're going to be all this kind of stuff. You're going to be fielding questions from news agencies. You're going to be wanting to know if anybody can make the trip with you next time, or whatever it is.
Okay. well, I mean, there's my life, I guess whatever happens with my life, more so, right? But then, what about everybody else, Is it just going to be a fascination of this, flash in the sky?
No, because then you're going to, then because then you'll be able to speak to them.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You get your basket of fish and, go through the crowd, give away fish for 4.5 years.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not, all right. Yeah. Right now, I'm not even going to think about all
you
that
see,
stuff.
You see,
I really can't.
You haven't, here's what's wrong with that. You haven't
What?
Accepted your own power. You don't even know. I mean, it's really fun to watch this because you don't really know even who you are yet.
Well, yeah. Because it's never been about me. To me, it's never been about me. It's never been about, look at me and this and that. It's just, I could literally help you, in a profound way.
Well, that's why it's all about you.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think it's human nature that you don't accept any of this. First of all, it's scary. It's a lot bigger than, anybody could ever imagine. And
I'm not scared of any of it.
Oh, sorry I brought it up. Okay.
Well, I'm not. None of it scares me at all. I feel like I'm just, it's just not getting to me. That's what it is. It's just not getting to my head. I'm still just me.
Well, that may not change. I mean, that's okay to just be me. I think that's all right.
Yeah.
I think that's healthy, frankly. It's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you want to just be me, you could probably hire a staff of 36 people just to answer the phone. Be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call it.
Well, Yeah, that's right. And that's the new world. All that is, it whatever takes place as it does, it's not really, I don't know. We'll see how this rolls out, John. I don't know. All that stuff, it's great, I guess. You would know. If anybody knows it, you would know.
Well, that's the whole point. I know, and you're having a hard time accepting it. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I've alluded to this a little bit privately, and now it's public, but you're a supernova. You're a flash of white light. You're amazing. And you demonstrate that in real time amongst people that are alive who can testify to who you are,
right.
And people who are dead. And we can check in with them too. You walk in the fifth dimension. And there's nothing that you did or do that is against current science belief. So you mm-hmm. can't even be disputed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, I mean, I appreciate all that because you are who you are and you're able to make that call. But I think it's hard for other people to see the same thing if they've never experienced anything like it. And they're not educated enough to, plug in all the, all the components going, oh my gosh, that's what this is. For face value, I'm just like everybody else.
Well, I suppose that's fine. That's fine. I mean, that's certainly healthy, and it's noble. It's almost ingratiating. You know, it's lovely. But when someone says, "Merrily, we've got you booked to 90,000 people sold out at the Los Angeles Coliseum," and you say, "Yeah, but I there's a conflict on that day. I'm going to be at the George Mason High School." You know. Well, what you do at that point is you invite everybody to George Mason High School to the LA Coliseum. You don't throw over the Coliseum. You are sellout material at the Coliseum. That's what you are. I'm not saying that's the actuality. That's the power. That's the power. People are going to expect you, in my opinion, people are going to expect you not to walk on water, but to show up, but to be there. I think
The
you've
thing
said that
is, John,
before.
I don't want to be that celebrity. I don't want to be, just, it's kind of like, it reminds me of, remember when I was telling you, when I did my videos and somebody said, "Oh yeah, I don't listen to you. I just watch you." That's no different than what you're talking about. It's just, the attraction of that living thing. It's, you're objectified. You're just a thing. You're something that is popular and celebrity and all this other stuff. It's like, you know what? If you want me to show up at your classroom or your coliseum or whatever it is, tell me how many people read the book. Because if nobody read the book, why are you there? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be just the science project. Like, what makes her who she is? And let's just look at her. And then, it's not about that. It's about love. I'm really trying to show people what love is.
I was in Washington, D.C. one time when Mike Mansfield was the majority leader of the Senate. I was at P.J. Donich's house, and Mansfield was going to come by. He was the most powerful man in Washington at the time. And the place, and so it was a after work cocktail hour, which is standard in Washington, D.C. Place is packed. Mansfield, who was the powerful man, comes in. The crush of people were so strong that all he could do was pass his hand over the top of the crowd, let people reach up and touch his fingers. Now he was servicing them. He was accommodating them. Okay, he wasn't doing anything but accommodating them by letting them touch his fingers as he walked by. He stepped up on the podium. He said a few words and he left. That was that. Now, I don't see how you're going to avoid that, frankly.
Yeah, I know, that's what my discussion was earlier with Jack. Same thing. And that's kind of like you're owned because people expect you. They expect you to show up and they expect you to say something and they expect you. And it's like, I didn't start here to be owned. Quite the contrary. I'm trying to help everyone to get free.
Well, I don't. Yeah, but I don't agree with your ownership argument. I don't understand how it's ownership.
Well, like, what's his name? Ryan Seacrest. Did you know who that is? Ryan
I know his
Seacrest?
name. I don't know much about him. What about him?
Ryan Seacrest, I think he started out just as being the host of Kiss FM. I think that's where he started. Because I used to listen to Ryan's Roses and the whole thing, so many years ago. And then he, of course, his career grew. And then he was like Dick, what is it? I can't remember his name right now.
Dick Van
It's
Dyke?
terrible.
No.
No, not Dick. No. The other guy who used to watch the ball drop.
Oh, you on New Year's Eve? Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. He became the prince host of everything. If there was anything to host, it was Ryan Seacrest who's going to show up. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, he's popular and he's doing well and he's very successful, but it's kind of like he's owned because everybody wants him to show up. He doesn't have any time of his own and he didn't have any relationship. Like, kind of listening to this stuff and picking up things when he was talking on Kiss FM, and he would go through his relationships and whatever. It's because you don't have time for love. It's bad enough that we don't know what it is, that we're doing the best we can with the knowledge that we thought we learned how to love, but career gets in the way, and then all these demands get in the way, and you have a schedule, and then there's money involved. So then the money owns you because you can't, it's like people expect you to show up. And the money is there, and how can you say no? So you're like, okay, I'll be there. Next thing you know, you don't have time for to slow down.
Well, I don't think that I don't think you have an ethics question if you show up. I don't think that's an ethics problem at all, or even if there's money involved. Let's say that you're let's use a big holy figure in this country or in the world. Let's use the Pope, for example, who gets in a Pope mobile, okay? That's in another level beyond Mike Mansfield. So he drives through the crowd because there's 90,000 people that want to at least get a glimpse of him. Does he owe them the look? He may have personal audiences, 3 hours a day for visiting dignitaries that are private, and that's in the course, and we know he does that. But does Pope, whatever he is these days, does he owe the 90,000 people the look? Does Prince Charles and family, the king now, does he have to walk out on the balcony and wave his hands? Does that go with the job?
Well,
Seems to me that
that's
when you
pretty.
get to a level of power, to a level of unless, I don't think we should be calling it celebrity, even though celebrity is sort of okay. But I don't think it's a celebrity in the sense of rock and roll, not that kind of celebrity. This is power. This is unusualness. This is an apostle versus an apostate. Big difference. At some point, you owe the pedestrians a look.
Oh gosh.
And I don't mean that they're looking at you. I mean they're experiencing you. When Bill Clinton was running for president, and he came through Seattle, and did a 12-second walk through it, down on the waterfront. I walked from Ballard down there. I walked down there, and got in the crowd, whatever it was, so that I could simply see him. I couldn't even hear him. I just want to see him. That's all I wanted. When I sent my team to Monaco to be with Prince Rainier, the people wanted to just be able to see him in that crowd. Just see him.
I do understand this. I do. And this is why the question came up the other day with us. It's like how people see me. Like I had to sit down and go, whoa, wait a minute. Just because of, like the responses or whatever. And now it seems that I'm in a position where I'm getting counseled. Like I have people that are counseling me how to show up and what to do and how to handle it and okay. And when you have a different perspective, just like what you're saying, how you just wanted to see them, right? Okay, so if you just wanted to see them and then they came over to you and say, hey John, how are you doing? How's your life? How's your family? What's going on with you? You might be like overwhelmed, like wait, what, whoa, you're coming into my life? Whoa.
Yes, of course. Yes, correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
And so that's what had my head spin around.
Right. When the queen or when the king walks out of the crowd, walks up and shakes the hand of the 9-year-old boy and said, "You'll be king someday," his mother faints and drops over. You're going to be in that class within the next 12 months. You'll be in that class, 24 months, let's say. You'll be in the class of King Charles. Same class.
Hopefully, class of my own.
Well, okay, class of
Yeah.
your own.
Yeah. No, but I understand what you're saying because that's what's like spinning my head with the responses that I'm getting from other people now. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? It just kind of sets me back a little bit because I'm genuinely interested, like, what's going on with you? What's going on in your life and how is this, how is that? And it's almost like, wait, I gotta close my doors. Wait, I don't want you to see in here. And it's like, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just genuinely asking how you are and stuff. And so clearly the perspective is different. I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, it's different. It's an amazing, I don't know, experience this life.
It is.
Yeah. And depending on where people are at in their consciousness, what they're able to perceive, take in, and accept will dictate their behavior. Some people will deny, just shun the whole thing and shut it down without looking back. Some people will be offended. Other people will be like, wait a minute, what? Wanting more with open arms. It's just,
Well,
I mean,
privacy is, of course, vital. Your privacy
Yeah.
will be vital. You
Yes.
can do the Martha Stewart where you drive your long black car into the building, into the elevator, and you don't get out of your car till you're in your office. That's that kind of privacy. That's one kind of privacy. Or you can be like George Shultz, where he's the Secretary of State, and yet people don't recognize him necessarily. So he can walk through a crowd, and then they'll start to see him, and then he steps into a building. He steps away. His timing, his sense of timing was very good. And then that one day when we were together with him, we took him downtown, and he opened up the Tutankhamun exhibit. We drank all afternoon. It's a good thing he could stand up. Because he's an ordinary
Yeah.
guy. He's an ordinary guy. He really is. And you're an ordinary woman of consequence. See, there's the difference. He's an ordinary man, and there's no difference. He's an ordinary man of consequence. You're an ordinary woman of consequence. It's the of consequence that you have to get used to.
What
Because
is that?
Well, it's because you've become of public consequence as opposed to just consequence with the universe and so forth. The unless you want to move to the Serengeti, and leave no forwarding address, you're gonna have to deal with people. And and I just think that's just fine, as long as you do it with moderation and know what you're doing. And knowing what you're doing, in my opinion, is knowing who you are.
Yeah.
But be as gracious to 50,000 people as you are to three or four people. It's just a matter of it's just all structure. That's all it is. I love you all as opposed to I love you. Okay? That's the only difference.
Sure. No, I get that. I get it. It's just a it's a
Yeah.
transition right now.
The difference now is that I have my car is double parked to have to go home, or the jet's waiting,
Yeah. Well, again, all those things are, I mean, it's funny how, Merrily, let me finish my sentence. You strive, maybe your whole life wanting more. You're trying to stay above water, just trying to provide for your family and be a good person. And then, you're shown all of these material items, the material world where people have yachts and planes and they're eating at the best restaurants and they have name brand clothes and just all this stuff. It's like, you should strive for this. This is what's wonderful and you don't have it. So keep working harder for it. Not understanding the what is driving that message. So, if you can't meet that demand, then you feel bad about yourself. You're just trying to just get by. But
No,
then,
well, no,
what?
you meet the demand, and then that's when you figure out that you're doing it wrong, is when you meet the demand. Then you back away.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, this conversation could open up in a whole different way, because with
Right.
people who have it or why they have it and all that stuff, all of it. But to stay focused, it's just, once you get there, it's just not about the
Is
stuff.
that your skill set you just brought up? Was that one of
What?
your skill sets, directing the conversation?
Yeah.
You're good at
Yeah.
that. You really are good at that.
Thank you. Well, just to stay on topic, because otherwise, each individual statement could open up a new topic all on its own, and then we lose track of what we were talking about in the first place.
I feel kind of mind forgetting about that. It's all right. I'm good with that.
Well, that's why it's hard for people to communicate because the conversation on both sides keeps straying to another point, another memory, another, whatever, and they're no longer communicating. They're just talking to each other.
What?
And then, you sit there and say, well, why are we fighting? How did we get here? What are we arguing about?
Well,
Right.
I don't care. I mean, you're the one with the problem, not me. You're the one that's going to be the celebrity. Why do I care?
I don't know if that's true, John. It could just be you. You're the author.
So, anyway, I think that we covered some pretty good ground here, and this is not a class, obviously, but I think that what you've demonstrated in spades is the authenticity of who you are just in this last hour. I was kind of fishing for that, and I got what I wanted. Really?
Really?
Well, yeah,
You setting me up?
you are the real deal, really. You are the
Oh,
real deal.
gosh.
You're everything that they're going to say about you, and then some.
Wow. Well, thank
And
you.
how
I'm not
you
even sure what did you gather? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know. I just know in this now time space that there's been a clear shift in what has happened, like from the old world. And yeah. And I mean, literally from one day to the next. And say, wow. Like, I don't know. I literally do have guards and guides and oh my God, my dream. Oh, my dream. Remember my dream? Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's the guard. It's the change of the guard. That's what it is.
Well, it's all very tight. It's happening
Right.
in the correct sequence. It's all very tight, and that's it's going to be people are going to love to read your story and realize how the sequencing has happened and what's going on. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it
Yeah.
just is. And it's just I there's nothing I can do about that. Nothing I can do about that. Totally out of my control. I just write what I see. That's it.
You know what? I mean, it's a wonderful idea that people would fall in love with me, or some will hate me, whatever, but to fall in love with the story is really where it's at.
Of course.
Yeah.
I wrote
Got to fall in love with the story. Well,
it.
Yes, but I mean the whole story. You know, yes, you were commissioned to write that story. You were divinely commissioned. True. But just no, there's a whole story here. It's just more than that, and you got to fall in love with what's happening in our world, all the suffering and the change to come. You know, and then how you wrote about it. Every single person who exposes themselves to your two books and then sits back and goes, wait, what? And then reads the game, or vice versa, wherever you're at. And then you look out into the world and go, oh my gosh. Like, what?
Just imagine if someone actually does a three-book read of The Deal's Danger Destiny, The Floppy Feathers, and The Game.
Yeah.
How whole will that person be? I mean, they'll be practically perfect because of the game.
Well, so I think that they would really be overflowing with love.
Yes, but that's equals perfect
Yeah,
in our
overflowing.
culture, in our species.
Yeah.
They would
Just
be,
overflowed in amazement, wonder, fulfillment,
yeah.
hope.
Yeah, I keep I'm on the side, so I keep trying to measure it. You know,
Yeah.
you're more philosophical about the whole thing, but I want to give it a, I want to give it a mathematical formula. I want to turn you into an algorithm all the time. But that's just my own flaw. Sorry, I'll get over it.
It's okay. I just, you know, that is the joy I want to see in people. That's what I want to experience, you know, me. I want to see you know, the reader experience the whole story, the magic of it all. And then I want to hear what you have to say.
Well,
How do you articulate what
sometime
you
in the next
feel?
12 months, it'll be in 5,000 bookstores.
It's
So,
not going to take 12 months.
well, I said sometime in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be in 5,000 bookstores. It'll be
Yes.
on Ingram. It'll be on
Yeah, but nobody
Amazon.
wants to wait that long.
Well, they might have to. You know, good
No.
packages take time. You know, Santa Claus is busy. He'll be here. It'll be all right.
No,
All good
we
things
need it
come.
now. We really need it now. I don't know all the books that are coming out, but it's pretty important for this day and age.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff moves pretty slowly. I mean, it's like trying to turn an aircraft carrier around in a causeway. It'll be fine. We'll get it done slowly. Because the
It
impact, the
is
power,
done.
huge. I know it's done. I mean, it is done. It's just being done. But the point is that it's just to be done right. You were talking about getting it done right earlier about, about
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, you know, when this is not coming out as a jack of all trades deal. This is coming out as a piece of market trade press. Perfect.
It deserves it too.
Yeah. With lots of pictures.
You can't slap that together.
Yeah,
No, I mean, for all we know, the publisher and the editor, whoever it is putting the pictures together, just like, what? Are you reading this book?
I'm sure that's going
You
on.
know, what do you think about Oh gosh, and that's yeah, so that's it. All right, well, we've been on over an hour, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come in 70 minutes. Yep.
I'm gonna go eat my meatballs.
That's a great way to end. Yep. It's the basic Merrily.
Okay. I love you.
Love you too. I'll
I'm gonna
talk
talk
to
to you
you.
later.
Bye.
Bye.